We have a Medrash in Sefer Eicha, where the Medrash tells us that there was a fascinating dispute, a fascinating debate that took place between Knesset Yisrael, between the Jewish people, and God Himself. So the Medrash records the conversation, and it tells us that we said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we presented to Him, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha, Vinashuva, you should return us to you, you should initiate, you should take the first step, Vinashuva, and then we will return. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself says back, no, that's not the way it's going to work. I expect of you, God says, Shuva Elai, you first return to me, and then Ve'al Shuva Aleichem. And this is an ongoing debate that has taken place over many, many generations. Whose job is it to initiate the conversation? Whose job is it to activate and to trigger our relationship with each other? Is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu's job, or is it our job? So Rav Soloveitchik writes in one of his books, and The Lonely Man of Faith, where he talks a lot about prayer and a lot about emunah and hashkafa. So there, Rav Soloveitchik writes the following. He draws a distinction between the tefillah that we go through every day and what a navi has the opportunity when he gets a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Rav Soloveitchik, one major difference, and I'll read, the difference between prayer and prophecy is, as I have already mentioned, related not to the substance of the dialogue, but rather to the order in which it is conducted. While within the prophetic community, God takes the initiative, God speaks and man listens, right? The Ribbono Shel Olam comes to a Navi, Bachalom. The Navi didn't do anything to deserve this, really. Obviously, he purified himself and he perfected himself. But after all is said and done, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam who initiates the conversation, and the Navi just listens. In the prayer community, however, Rav Soloveitchik writes, when we talk about the aspect of tefillah, the initiative belongs to man. He does the speaking, and God does the listening. Such a powerful insight. Whenever we open up our mouths, and we are mispalel, and we offer a tefillah, it means that we are asking God, we are initiating the conversation. We want X, Y, or Z. There are certain things in our lives that we feel we are deficient without, and we would like you to listen to us. When it comes to nevuah, it's a very different kind of experience. So when we talk about this relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is sometimes a complicated one. Sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam initiates on his own, and sometimes he expects that Klal Yisrael is going to initiate. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha versus Shuva Elai V'Ashuva Aleichem. The reason why I mention this is because, as we know this week, the Jewish community in many, many different places all over the world will commemorate the 70th anniversary of Yom HaAtzmaut, of the day in which we were given this incredible gift of having our own state, our own country, and our own land. And I think when we talk about Yom HaAtzmaut, you cannot just have a conversation about Zionism. You have to think about what exactly this means for us. Rav Soloveitchik spoke so much about it. But at the crux, at the core, obviously, Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael and all that it means to us is supposed to focus our attention on a geula, on what life is going to be like when we have the ultimate redemption. So to that end, I'd like to focus our attention in the few minutes we have on two different passages that the Gemara has in two different places that speak a little bit about Geula, and there's a message that's very important that comes out from those two Gemaras. So one Gemara goes as follows. The Gemara tells us in the end of Masechet Sota, the very last daf, a description of how horrible the conditions are going to be in the times and the generation right before the coming of Mashiach. So the Gemara tells us that we're going to see a government that's going to be filled with corruption, and people are going to be bribing each other, and there's going to be terrible extortion, and there's going to be fraud, and we're going to see such lawlessness, such chaos, and we unfortunately seem to be experiencing much of this. You go at so many different levels of government, you don't even know who to trust anymore, and so many politicians are lying to us, and all those who we used to respect, we realize, are no longer really worthy of our respect. Exactly the definition that the Gemara gives us for the time of the coming of Mashiach, in that regard, seems to be coming true. Then says the Gemara, we're going to look around at society as a whole, and we're going to see how immoral it is, and we're going to see the amount of depravity and the lawlessness and the misconduct of people. They just have no filter. They have no way of restraining themselves from doing such despicable acts. And then he says, we're going to look around the world and we're going to realize how helpless we are and how vulnerable we are, and we're going to have nothing in our lives that we can defend ourselves with, and we're going to feel so abandoned. Ve'ein lanu al mi lehisha'ein, ela al avinu shebashamayim. You look around and you see a world that is imploding, you see a world that is disintegrating, so dysfunctional, such a disaster, and we're going to say, you know what? Ein lanu al mi lehisha'ein, ela al avinu shebashamayim. At least we have a God who's the only stable force in our lives. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, You read that Gemara and you have one impression on what that last line means. Ein lanu amila hisha'ein ela alavina shebashamayim. When we live through a time like that, we're going to throw up our hands and we're going to say, you know what, God? At least we rely on you. And we have you. But says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, that's not what the Gemara really means. Our Gemara in Maseches Sota goes through a description of what the end of days is going to look like. And it tells us that there's going to be an absolute disaster everywhere we turn, and there's going to be a breakdown in societal norms, and life is going to be horrible and terrible everywhere we look, and we can't trust anybody, and there's going to be inflation issues, and everything's going to be terrible around us. However, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, you know what the worst curse of it all is? When we wake up one day and say, Ein lanu al mila hisha'ein, ela al avinu shabashamayim. When we wake up one day and say, you know what, God? I cannot positively impact the world any longer. It's your problem. This world is so dysfunctional. This world is in such a state of disrepair. I can't do anything anymore to make it a better place. It's your job, and I throw all of my obligation on you. That, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, is the worst curse of them all. That's the most profound. When a Jew thinks that he has to surrender, that he has to withdraw, and he has to give it over to God and say that it's God's job and I can't do anything longer to make this world a better place than the world that I came into, that, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, is the most profound curse of everything else that the Gemara describes, because the life of a Jew is never allowed to be that way. A Jew is never allowed to submit himself and say, I have nothing more that I can accomplish. There's nothing more that I can do. The world is what it is, and it's going to remain the way it is, and it's going to be God's problem to fix it up. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, we as Jews, we as a people who uphold the ethical, moral values and standards that the Ribono Shel Olam gave over to us, have the ability, we were empowered with the opportunity to make the world a better place. And therefore, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, that is the greatest job, it is the most important job that every Jew always has to remember, and that is something we never have the ability to forget. So we turn our attention to yet another Gemara, the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin, where we are told a striking, startling conversation that took place between Hillel, not to be mistaken with the famous Hillel HaZaken. This was an Amora Hillel, who was having a conversation with some of his contemporaries. And in the midst of this conversation, Hillel says the following, Ein Mashiach li Yisrael. Hillel says, on a simple level, there will not be a Mashiach for the Jewish people. There will not be a Messiah. Rabbi Yosef, one of his friends, is sitting right next to him. He doesn't even know what to do with himself. Such a blasphemous statement. Don't you know how axiomatic it is to the Jewish people that we believe that there's going to be the coming of Mashiach? Don't you know we say on Imamin every day, and how many times in our davening do we say, V'sechazena einenu v'li Yerushalayim ircha, we talk about Mashiach, Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael. So what, Hillel forgot all about this? And Rabbi Yosef turns to his friend and he says, you know, this is such a disgraceful statement that you made. This is so obscene. And he says, Sharalei mari lehillel. I hope God can find a place in his heart to forgive Hillel for the terrible statement that he just made. How can a Jew say such a thing? How can you ever believe Ein Mashiach li Yisrael? That, says Rabbi Yosef, is something that is unforgivable. Well, Rashi there comments, is it possible, can it be, that Hillel really meant to say Ein Mashiach li Yisrael? There's not going to be a Mashiach? Of course Hillel knew there's going to be a Mashiach. We've been talking about Mashiach ever since the beginning of our nationhood. We've been talking about Mashiach. We're told already, Az Yashir Moshe v'nei Yisrael, we say that's a remez l'tchias ha-mesim. We know there's going to be a life after the world that we live in. We know there's going to be a time of Mashiach and Geula, and after all this galus, we're going to be repaid. So what does Hillel mean? How can he possibly say Ein Mashiach li Yisrael? Says Rashi, there's no way that that's what Hillel had in mind. All Hillel meant to say was the following. Ein Mashiach liYisrael means that we want that God should do the miracles by himself. We don't want that anyone should participate. We don't want anyone assisting God in the process of redemption. We want the Ribono Shel Olam showing us like he did on the times of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Biyad Chazaka of Israel Netuya. We want him to do it alone. We want no partnership at all. And we want him to advance the story of the Jewish people. We want him to push it forward and no one else to be involved. That, said Hillel, is what I want. That's what I look forward to in the times of Mashiach. Well, as for Rav Soloveitchik, if that's all Hillel meant, why were his friends so offended by the statement? Isn't that beautiful? I want a direct relationship with God. I want to be able to interact and to communicate with him. I want to be able to sense his presence like they did on the times of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why is it so horrible? Why is it so offensive for a Jew to get up and say, I want God to do it alone. I don't want anyone else being involved. Doesn't that mean you want a stronger relationship with him? Well, said Rav Soloveitchik, as unacceptable as it is for a Jew to say, Ein Mashiach liYisrael, that there will not be the coming of Mashiach, we will not have a Geula, it is equally unacceptable for a Jew to believe that we as human beings will not have a part in the redemptive process. The Ribbono Shel Olam expects all of us to have an active role, a participatory role, in all that will happen in the times of the Geula and the times of Mashiach. And we have the opportunity to make that process evolve. We have the ability to progress. We have the ability to improve the world and to make it more worthy of a place that a Geula should be in. And that, says Hillel, is not something that I want. And Rabbi Yosef turns to him and he says, that is unacceptable. Because a Jew always has to understand that their job is to make the world as best a place as it can be and to be an active participant in the process of redemption. This is the ongoing debate. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva. Is it all God's job? And after He's finished, we'll enter into the story? Or does God turn to us and say, Shuva Eilai v'ashuva Aleichem? It's your job as Jews to make the redemptive process happen. It is your job to initiate. It is your job to show me that you are really interested and to progress the story of the Jewish people and the history of the Jewish people to get them to the next stage. When we think about what a celebration of 70 years means to us, what Yom HaAtzmaut means, Rav Soloveitchik writes in a number of places, that it doesn't just mean it's about Zionism. Zionism means nothing, he said. Zionism has no meaning to us as Jews at all. Zionism without Torah is meaningless. The reason why Eretz Yisrael has an important part in our lexicon, the reason why it is so essential to all that we believe in, is because we believe that it's going to be a meaningful part of our existence, because it will enable us to study the Torah better, to keep the laws of the Torah in a more profound way, and to understand the presence of God in a more serious way as well. And therefore, said Rav Soloveitchik, when we think about celebrating what Eretz Yisrael means to all of us, we have to think about Geula. We have to consider what that possibility means to us and how real it is for all of us and what we are doing to show the Ribbono Shel Olam that we are interested in partnering with Him and assisting Him in some way and saying that we will do whatever it takes to bring the Geula and to make that go forward. When you think about how many courageous people, how many individuals it took to give us the gift that we have, and some of them were religious and some of them perhaps were not, but so many of them were such valiant spirits. So many of them were so determined to give us the gift that we have and to partner with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'll just read one excerpt from the Rav himself when he writes in the book. I think I saw it this morning. I took a bunch of clips. I forgot to write down which one it was from. I think this is from Kol Dodi Dofek, where he writes that for him to be a person who supports the state of Israel and to stand behind everything that he did was not easy. It was not an easy decision. All of his ancestry was against this. And everywhere that he came from, he was the king of Mesorah. Rav Soloveitchik was so into this idea that we always have to follow the tradition and we always have to make sure to follow our fathers and our grandfathers. And here Rav Soloveitchik said this was a very difficult decision for me to make, that I should veer off the regular path that I was raised in and make a decision that I'm going to support all that Eretz Yisrael stands for. And he says, I built an altar upon which I sacrifice sleepless nights, doubts and reservations. This took a lot of introspection for him to come to the decision. And he said that the Mizrahi must understand that Jews like me, who join the movement and who draw their nourishment from the ancient Talmud, from the soil of Abai and Rava, are in a category of Yosef. They are required to sacrifice on this altar their peace of mind, as well as their social relationships and friendships. And he writes how he lost a lot of friends, and his family distanced him because of the decision that he made. But he did it because he wanted to bring the Geula to the next step. Because we as human beings have the ability to push it forward and to be the next chain in the link of a Geula and to make it a meaningful part of our lives. And that, said Rav Soloveitchik, made it all worth it. As much as I sacrificed, every bit of it was worth it. As much as my life was difficult afterward, didn't make a difference, because it brought me closer to the time that I believe is going to be the Aschalta of the Geula. Let us just close. There's a fascinating comment that Rav Soloveitchik made on a different occasion, and that was, you think about the Makos in Mitzrayim, and they had the Makos that were spanning out over the course of 12 months, or perhaps more, the Medrash says, and you have Dam, Tzvardeya, Kinim, are of unbelievable miracles going on. Never in the course of the entire year did the Jews consider singing Shira. Nobody thinks about it. All of a sudden they come to Kriyas Yamsef, and oh, Az Yashem Moshe v'nei Yisrael, that's a good idea. So what happened until this point? No one was grateful. No one felt a set of gratitude until they got to the Yamsif. Until that point, there was nothing to be grateful for. Said Rav Soloveitchik, there's one major distinction between all of the Makos and what happened on the occasion of Kriyas Yamsif. By Kriyas Yamsif, the Torah says, God instructs all of us, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'iso. We as Jews had the opportunity to make the miracle happen. God allowed us on that occasion to partner with Him. There is nothing that gives a Jew more satisfaction than to be a partner with the Ribbono Shel Olam in the process of redemption. On that occasion, by Kriyas Yamsuf, when the Ribbono Shel Olam put it in our hands and said, it's up to you to make the Geula happen. I'm putting it in front of your hands. Either you can choose to do it or you can stay here and turn behind and go back and kill yourselves in Mitzrayim. When we had the opportunity to be an active participant in the redemptive process, not just sitting back and watching Yad Chazak of Israel and Atuya, when we had that chance, there is nothing that gives a Jew more satisfaction than that experience alone, than being able to be the agent of the Ribbono Shel Olam, being able to be together with him in bringing the Geula process to yet another level. And therefore, only on that occasion did the Jewish people understand, us, Yashir Moshe, and Yisrael, we have never in our history felt such a feeling, because never has the Ribbono Shel Olam allowed us to be as actively involved and engaged in his redemptive process as we were on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So when we think about the great gift of Eretz Yisrael, how lucky we are, 70 years to have this, it's something I was lucky enough to be born into. Not everybody alive today was born into this reality, but I was, and many of us in the room were, but it's a time for us to think and to consider what a Geula means to us, what Eretz Yisrael needs to mean in a Torah-dika way, in a real Hashkafa way. What is it supposed to mean to all of us? How will we react to the ultimate Geula? This is just the Aschalta. This is just the beginning. This is the entree. But what will be the response of the Jewish people when God asks all of us to step up and to be a partner with Him and to do something productive to show Him that we are willing to push the story of the Jewish people and of their redemption one step forward?